Jamie Dauncey is a former professional wrestler and bodybuilder from right here in Windsor, Ontario. Better known as Jamie D in Border City Wrestling here in Windsor and on Impact Wrestling on your television. Join me, Drake DeMore, as I chat with Jamie about her professional wrestling career stemming from right here in Windsor, Ontario, befriending and crossing paths with such legends like Hulk Hogan, and what she's doing now.
Hello, how you doing? It's Zach Cassie.
Adam Henrique.
Joe Siddle. Tom Crawford.
Todd Warner.
Brett Romberg.
TJ Laramie.
And holy mackinaw, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody? My name is Jake Moore, and thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports radio show and podcast. The podcast drops every other Thursday morning on windcitysports.com or anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and of course, wherever you're listening to it right now, featuring full, uncut, and unedited versions of interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more. We also have the Wind City Sports radio show on CJAM 99.1 FM every Thursday at 12:30 and replays on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. On the radio show, you'll hear highlights from these podcast interviews, some music, and as much local sports news as we can gather. Still broadcasting from home during this pandemic, it can be hard to come up with some news, but we're keeping you entertained one way or another. We have a big social media presence on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere at WindCity_sports if you're ever trying to find us. We also have a YouTube channel, so subscribe there, like, follow, subscribe on whatever social media you might use or want to use, and give us reviews on any app you might use for podcasting. We'll remind you about all that at the end of the show, as we normally do, but today is Thursday, October 29th, 2020, and it's episode 210 of Wind City Sports. As Halloween is approaching this weekend, I hope everyone has some festivities in mind and still trying to achieve a happy Halloween, I guess you can say. Happy Halloween. Get out there, if you're not too COVID scared, and get some candy. I mean, kids, adults, who doesn't like it? But without further ado, let's talk about our guest really quickly and before we roll into some more topics here on the Wind City Sports Podcast. Of course, as you heard at the top of the show, it's Jamie D, former professional wrestler from right here in Windsor. You might know her obviously from Border City Wrestling or in the gym at Lifestyles, the old Lifestyles on Central, in bodybuilding as well. She was around Windsor for a long time, and even still making the news when she moved out to Florida and became friends with Hulk Hogan. I certainly remember that. Some cool stuff and some cool stories coming out of our podcast this week with Jamie D, former professional wrestler. We'll hear what she's up to nowadays as well. But before we get into that interview and then following it, we have a good amount of stuff to talk about. Some news, some just not so news, some cool stuff I just want to talk about. And one thing in particular in regards to wrestling that actually relates to a topic that we talk about with Jamie in the interview. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But before all of that, I have a... I don't want to say major announcement, but an announcement. We're moving days for the podcast, at least. So if you're familiar with the show, if you're a fan of the show, first and foremost, thank you so much. But what we're going to do is we're going to move the podcast to Mondays. I'm going to record on Sunday nights and they'll drop Monday morning, starting not this Monday, but the following week. We're still going to do bi-weekly. So basically, we'll have a few days in between and the next episode, 211. We'll drop on Monday the 9th, November 9th will be our next episode and our first Monday episode ever. That being said, aside from the podcast dropping on a different day, everything else will be the exact same. Podcast is still going to be the same and the radio show will still certainly be the same. Still Thursdays at 12:30 in Windsor and Detroit, that is, on CJAM 99.1 FM. So we'll be releasing podcasts on Mondays, every other Monday, and still having our radio show on Thursday. Kind of spread the wealth, spread the days out. So we'll have content 2 days a week instead of, just dropping everything on Thursdays, which we've been doing for years now. Finally about time that we make changes. I mean, we've made changes on this podcast and show over the years. Obviously not the first time, and it won't be the last time either. So starting Monday, November 9th, we will be moving to Mondays, dropping on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere podcasts are found. Just a new day, same time, same thing, same host, still me. So we'll see you then. We'll talk to you Next Monday will be our next episode. But that being said, we're going to get into that interview as mentioned. And then following that, we have a little bit of news on our Windsor Spitfires, some local athletes, and some cool stuff that we want to talk about in regards to the history of Windsor wrestling. I was going to say Windsor sports, but more specifically Windsor wrestling. So that being said, without further ado, let's jump into an interview with a former Border City Wrestling superstar, Jamie D. Here we go. So right now on the phone, we have from Windsor, Ontario, a pretty much longtime professional wrestler now at this point. You might remember her from Border City Wrestling, of course, and even in TNA down in Florida, the one and only Jamie D. Welcome, and thank you for coming on the show.
What's up, Wind City Sports? No, I'm just kidding.
That's one of the best ones I've had so far.
That's because you haven't had a wrestler on, or maybe you have.
Oh, I have had lots of wrestlers. Actually, that's what the one thing we were talking, actually, I wanted to mention. Some of the best people I've met through this have been through wrestling. And then when I said, you know, I'm going to be a little bit late, and you said, you bastard, I was like, this is going to be fun. She's gonna be cool.
Yeah, because you said 6 o'clock, then you said you're gonna be late. I was like, "What a bastard!"
I know. No, I was like, "Well, I'm glad she's got some humor and some personality. This is gonna be fun."
Oh yes, absolutely. Is this like a PG show, or
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, like I said, we remember you from your time in BCW and stuff like that. But you know, before this pandemic and all that, what's kind of life been like for you now? What's day to day like?
Well, basically, when I retired from wrestling, as you call it, retire or whatever, left, mm-hmm. That was about 2017. I literally been not doing too much. Like, I did some traveling. Because, you know, when you're on the road and you're go, and you're in Florida and doing a lot of events, I was there. Like, I was always constantly going. So I never really had time to, like, sit down and relax and mm-hmm. really just enjoy life, you know, just in the now, live in the now instead of in the future or what's going on next week, next year, next month. So once I left that, you know, extremely busy lifestyle, I really discovered that I really love my alone time and my downtime and just kind of being in nature and getting more spiritual and stuff like that. So my life has taken, well, it's always been spiritual and stuff, but my life mm-hmm. is just kind of like, I get to relax a lot right now and just kind of figuring out what's the next step. Like, what's true? Because, I mean, wrestling was my absolute passion at that time. So the next thing in life I want to do, I want to have the same kind of passion and energy, you know, so I'm trying to find what's next. So I'm kind of in between right now.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah.
Doing a lot of, you know, I still work out. I still eat healthy. I'm still, you know, staying in shape. You know, so I read a lot. I'm in the gym. I surround myself with good people, good environments. You know, I love positivity. So I'm in the, you know, law of attraction. Everything you put out in the universe is going to come back. So
yeah, all that stuff.
Just a lot of good stuff going on, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. It's cool to hear, you know? And, you know, I was going to say, like, with the whole, you know, quote-unquote retirement from wrestling, like any other sport, it's like, once that happens, it's like a whole nother lifestyle opens up, right? Like you said, you're traveling, you're doing the wrestling thing your whole life, focusing on that from, you know, probably your 20s to, like I said, 2017. So now it's like, you know, now what, right? So you're just, I see you kind of...
I'll be honest, I was lost. Like, I'm like, okay, if I'm not a wrestler, because, you know, almost 20 years of wrestling, if you're not doing that, then who am I? What am I? Like, oh my God. So I had to kind of find myself again because I was lost after that. You know what I mean? So it was a journey to finding myself, and then now it's a journey to finding what's the next step of passion and I want to do in life. So, yeah.
That's really cool. It's cool to hear. And, you know, during this whole pandemic, I know it's probably been hard, but you're keeping up with the lifestyle, which is good, but... It's cool to hear.
The pandemic's actually worked very well for me because I'm really low key right now. So I just, you know, being able to stay home and relax. And I actually, when I have a place in Florida, so when I came back home, it was not supposed to be permanently.
Oh.
It was just like to visit. So then I stayed a little longer, and then the pandemic happened, and then I couldn't go back. So I ended up getting a little place on the lake, like a little cottage in Kingsville, Leamington area. So I lived out there. So I'm in nature, and, you know, it's very peaceful and quiet out here. So, you know, eventually I'd like to go back to Florida, but not anytime soon with everything going on with the border.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy over in the U.S., so,
yeah.
I'll just stay here for now.
No doubt, yeah. That's cool. That's very cool to hear, though, because I wasn't sure. Like, I asked if you were in Windsor, and I see you're working out in the mornings there with the nice view, so it's a perfect spot for you, probably, given your situation.
That's cool. Like, well, that's what life's about, you know, like, enjoying the moment, living in the now, and being grateful. I give thanks every day for everything I have and everything I got to do, and I give thanks for what's coming, you know, what's next. So, I mean, always staying gratitude, that's my key to life, you know? And it's worked well for me, like, you know, I can sleep well at night. I haven't hurt nobody. I haven't done nothing too bad, you know? Back in my crazy days, I were a wild, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has them, right? So that's part of.
I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah. Someone interviewed me, that'd be a whole nother story, but that's not why we're here.
Yep.
But that kind of brings me to where I want to go to next, because you have a history of being here in Windsor, growing up in Windsor, as far as I know. So just tell me a little bit about growing up, like what area were you from and stuff like that.
Well, I went to St. Jules Grade School.
Oh, okay.
And that's in Norman and Ecumseh Road. Yeah. So I lived in that area, Pilat area. And then, my growing up was fun. I played sports and I had fun, you know. I wasn't a good student, I'll be honest. I was kind of the class troublemaker. So I always was getting in trouble in detentions and, you know, through grade school, pretty much high school, a little bit here and there too. But, I was just a natural wild child. I couldn't be tamed. I couldn't be controlled. You know, I was kind of out of control when I was younger, you know, in a good way. But, you know, because I knew when to roll the brakes and discipline myself, but. Yeah, so I was just carefree. Like, I love school, like my friends and everything, sports and everything, but not the school part, you know, all that. But, and then when I went to high school, I went to Brennan, and it was fun there, you know. And by grade 12, you're pretty much an alcoholic.
Yeah, so pretty much like me.
No, you partied, you know, in grade 10, 11, 12. I don't know how it's like now, but we had it really good when I was in high school. Like, it was safe. It was a good group. We were responsible. But, we partied.
Oh, for sure. We're not going to sugarcoat everything here, right? So I'm the same thing. I grew up on the East End, same sort of thing. So it's part of you, right? And like you mentioned, you're always into sports and stuff like that. Were you always into fitness and stuff like that too?
Yeah, like I remember the first time I saw a bodybuilding magazine, I think I was 13, and I was just like, oh my God, like bodybuilding legs. And I just fell in love with the sport, and I fell in love with lifting weights. And I used to go, you know, I've been to, 13 Arnold Classics, and I've been to 3 or 4 Olympias now, so I've gotten to meet everybody in that profession, like, from females to all the males, like, all the bodybuilders. I even met Arnold, you know, so I met a lot of the big-time wrestlers there, too, like Triple H and, you know, Jay Cutler, Mr. Olympia, so I got to meet a lot of the people I grew up, you know, as my heroes growing up, you know, I got to meet a lot of, work with a lot of them, so... Yeah, it was pretty cool. I had a really good upbringing, and I surrounded myself. I had lots of good friends, and Then after high school, you know, I worked at Burger King. That was a fun job. Then after that, I did some factory work, but I was not happy in factory work at all. You know, it's like prison in there for me. So, and then I got hired at the gym. It was Central Fitness at the time by the manager Linda, and it was one of the best jobs I've ever had. You know, the staff was awesome, and being in the gym every day was amazing, you know, to be in that environment. I loved being in the gym atmosphere, and working there was a great job and fit for me at that time. And that's how I got into wrestling, because, you know, Mike Legacy, he used to come into the gym all the time. He'd be like, hey, you know, you should come by the school. You know, I'm like, there's wrestling in Windsor? I'm like, no, because I was a fan my whole life.
Okay.
And then he said, so I remember I was at, like, Edge Nutrition one day, and there was Border City Wrestling flyers up, and I remember The Rock being advertised, and I'm like, who's this, because I stopped watching wrestling after a while, so I'm like, who's this Rock guy coming to Windsor?
Oh, and, my God.
Then I found out who he was, but I didn't go to that show, but I heard about it, and then I started getting more curious, so I asked Mike, I'm like, so how do you become a wrestler? And he said, you have to come to the school, and let me talk to Scott, you know, Scott DeMar, and see what he says. So Scott, allowed me to come. I was the first girl he had to, I think, train at the time, and I gave him probably some gray hair. Lots of gray hair, I'm sure. But I love Scott, and I'm sorry that I gave him a hard time. But I was young, and, you know, I didn't I don't know. It was all good, but...
Like I said, it's all part of life, right?
I'm sure he has his stories about me. But overall, he was awesome. He's one of the best coaches out there, and he does so much for the sport, and, you know, so he's awesome. If you want to get coached by Scott, you're very lucky, so... And get to, you know, he, not only are you coached by him, then you get, you know, put in these shows right away. Like, not right away, but when he feels you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you great experience. So if it wasn't for Scott, I would never have been a wrestler, and I would have never had the confidence, you know, after years of him helping us get bookings in the States and in Toronto or wherever we were before the city and stuff. You know, it gives you more confidence to go out there and get more bookings and stuff. So he definitely set us all on the right path, you know.
That's really cool. That's the one of the beauty things of BCW too, is what we always talk about with a lot of the trainees, right? Is then once you're ready, you got a show pretty much. Especially back in your days, they were monthly almost, right?
Yeah. Like honestly, like looking back, like I haven't really seen or talked to anybody in a while, but I really do miss them all and everyone that put the show on top notch. You know, Border City was the best independent show out there. Like no matter where I traveled, you know, nothing could top Border City. It was pretty much a professional show, like the way they, you know, set up the ring and the announcers and you know, everyone who set up the show. There's just, you know, you've been to the show.
Oh yeah,
they're like, you'll never see an independent show that fun and that good, and like everyone on the card, everyone's so talented. And you know, he was always bringing in big names, and you know, they always had large crowds. So yeah, we were really lucky to start with Border City and that way, or else where would you get that kind of experience?
Yeah,
know?
Absolutely. So, and you were pretty much you know, you didn't know that they existed for a while, but you were always a fan growing up. That's one thing I was going to ask about.
God,
you know,
yes. I was a true Hulkamaniac.
Yeah,
you
know, I know that actually.
When Andre and Hulk Hogan, you know, had that WrestleMania, like it was on. Like even Hogan and Andy, you know, in the steel cage match and WrestleMania 2, I believe. I was so scared for Hulk. You know, I thought he was gonna die, you know, and so yeah, it was very impactful when I was growing up wrestling. It was a huge part of my growing up. So yeah, I had, you know, the Hulk Hogan doll and Andre the Giant doll and the thumb puppet things and the sticker book.
Yeah, all the fun stuff.
Yeah, that's, I just, cool. You know, at that time it was like a dream. Like, do these people really exist, or is it just on TV, you know?
Yeah, well, it was a different time too, right? Like, if you would have first discovered it around that Rock show, I think that was 98, so, you know, you weren't just looking up on Google,
you know,
how to find it.
Yeah, like, I was literally growing up as a huge fan, but I remember by grade, like, 8 or 9, someone said, oh, why you like wrestling? It's fake.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, it's fake. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, it's fake? Oh, my God. So growing up, that was all lies. So I was pissed off at wrestling. I was like, how dare they be fake? You know, I was young. So, but then when I discovered wrestling was in Windsor and all these people were coming, I was, like, intrigued. I was like, oh, my God, this is so cool. Like, I couldn't believe it. So that's when I realized wrestling's not fake at all. Like,
yeah.
It's a storyline, and that's why people think it's fake. But we put our bodies on the line, and, you know, our bodies tell the story. So it's a very dangerous sport. I've tore my ACL on each knee, you know, so I've had surgery on each knee. So it's you know, it's a tough, tough sport, you know.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. That's why you guys do the training, right? And that's why Scott has one of the best schools.
Yeah, the training's, you know. I had really good training with Scott in his school, and then I won the TNA gut check. I think that was 2004, so I got $5,000 and then 10 weeks of training with TNA, and Scott was our instructor. And that 10 weeks, I think that's what put me to being my best in the ring at that time. So it was amazing. We had a great class, and I think it was like 4 or 5 days a week for 10 weeks straight, I'm pretty sure. And Scott, Scott did awesome with us, you know. He kicked our butts every night, but we all became awesome wrestlers. And then we all went down for the pay-per-view, and then we got to wrestle with Jeff Jarrett and Jerry Jarrett, and you know what I mean, that's when I just started, like within 2-3 years I was doing mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So that was so exciting, and I couldn't, you know, I'm like, oh my God, we can travel to Florida and we work as wrestlers. You know, what's better than that? Nothing at that time.
Yeah,
so yeah.
No, that's really cool. It's cool to hear. I want to go back to the beginning a little bit more in regards to, like, the training and stuff like that.
I'm kind of all over the place.
Oh, that's fine. Because there's still a lot more to get to it. But, I mean, like, Were you nervous at first? Like, what, your first show kind of thing? Like, mentioned,
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I was not confident when I first started. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. Ask Scott. Like, he told me I was a heel. And I remember my first show was against Tracy Brooks. I had to do, I think I did a run-in on her, or we had a match or something. And I was the heel. So Scott's like, you're the heel. And I didn't know what that meant. He said, so I went out there and started high-fiving. Everyone came out to techno. He was like, what is she doing? Oh, my God, I'm going to kill her. even the girl I was wrestling, she was like, you're the heel. Why are you high-fiving people? And I didn't understand that concept at all. I was like, oh, I'm not allowed to do that? Okay. So, yeah, I was, I'm sure, you know, a lot to deal with in the beginning. And probably still today, if you ask Scott. I didn't have a clue that heel babyface, you know, as a heel, you're mean and you don't touch the crowd, you know, you tag them off, you know. So I had a lot to learn. Oh my God. Like, I didn't know nothing. I was just a fan growing up. So I had no clue. Like, even when we first took our bumps, I remember I was scared, you know, like, I was scared a lot in the ring in the beginning. It was scary learning to take moves and trust people with, you know, putting you up for a body slam and then, you know, you're going up and landing on your back. So yeah, it was very intimidating. It was very scary. And you know, the first year was very tough, and I was always scared. I remember when I would drive there, I was like, oh my God, do I really want to do this? Hell yeah, I want to do this, but I'm so scared. So I was always, that was me going to the school every week. So it was, yeah, it was pretty, you know, but I got through it, and I sticked with it, and I think it was the environment of the school and, you know, everyone at the time. We had a great class at that time, too. You know, you had Chris Sabin, P.D. Williams, Alex Shelley, you know, Tyson Dukes, had who else was there? If I'm missing any, oh, of course, oh my God, Johnny Bravo, yeah, you know, so
John, capital letter E.
But yeah, I mean, we had an excellent class. Everyone was so talented, and it was, I mean, there's way more students I'm probably missing out, but I'm just off the top of my head thinking,
yeah,
but yeah, it was a great school. I was very professional. Everyone was so talented, so it was a very inspiring. And you always had, you had to pretty much like work your ass off when you got there, you know. So they trained us really hard, and yeah.
That's cool. It does seem like a lot of it went fast for you. That's why I wanted to touch upon that a little bit. And then, like you said, if you got to TNA quick.
Yeah. So basically, I won that TNA gut check, and then. Shortly after that, I believe I tore my ACL, so I was out for a while. I was out for like 3 or 4 months, and then after I came back from that, I went to TNA. You know, I surrounded and I worked with AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels, and we feuded against Gail Kim and America's Most Wanted. So that was fun, and that was an awesome experience. And then me and Gail went off, and we started like. Just single matches, and at the time there was no women's division there or nothing, so it's cool that, you know, part of that history, and
yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and so after that, you know, not after that, like, Awesome Kong was one of my road partners. Like, we traveled and did lots of stuff together on the road for many years, but one time we were in New York, and we were a Superstar Billy Graham, because Superstar Billy Graham took me under his wing, and so that's who, you know, after Border City and stuff, I went with, well, not went, but I mean, when I moved and stuff, I was with Superstar Billy Graham, and then, you know, he was mentoring me, so I was traveling and doing shows with him. That was so much fun.
Probably.
And Awesome Kong would come with us, and Awesome Kong would come with us, so I remember we were in New York, and Awesome Kong says, oh my God, Jamie, you're never going to do it, you know, Hulk Hogan's doing his book signing, and so Superstar called Jimmy Hart, and he said, hey, you got, you know, these girls, they want to come meet Hogan. And so Jimmy said, yeah, come on. So he took us in the back room, and he said, Hogan will be here in a bit. And Hogan came in, and it was like I was a six-year-old again, you know, like 5 or 6 year old. I was just like, oh my God. It was like, it's Hulk Hogan, no way. So yeah. Ever since then, we built a relationship, like a friendship, and yeah. It's lasted this long, like till today, you know, like we grew very close. And you know, when I was lived in Florida, but we can talk about all that, but I did a lot with stuff with Hulk. And you know, he had this place called Hogan's Beach, and yep. It was in Tampa. I went to every New Year's party there. I went to every Sunday, pretty much, a party with Hogan. His son Nick would be DJing, and Hogan would be on stage, and we'd all go there every Sunday. And I did that for like 5 years, 5 or 6 years.
That is so sick.
Partying with Hogan every weekend. But yeah, so that was really fun times. But yeah, so yeah, I went and had Scott D'Amore, and then I had superstar Billy Graham, Hulk Hogan, and then my last couple of years of wrestling. Well, actually, I was with the Dudley Boys too.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I was in Florida, and I went to their school. Dan Carr is the head trainer there. He was the guy who created the show American Gladiators back in the 80s when it was, with Zapp and all those females and the Bills. But Dan Carr was our head trainer, and Bubba and Devon, that school was very tough, but that was a fun time. So I was there for a couple of years, and then the Dudleys started running their shows, so we wrestled for them, and then they helped us get bookings all over Florida. So I did that for a while, and then I went over to After the Wild Samoan School, and I helped there with training the students, and I did shows for him 2 times a month, I usually, and I feuded with my last matches with Mercedes Martinez, who's now in WWE. But we had like a year feud at WXW, before she went to WWE, so that was fun. And I had some really, really amazing mentors. I'm very blessed and lucky to have that, from Scott D'Amore to Superstar, Billy Graham, Hulk Hogan, and then Half of the World Samoan, and then, Bubba and Devon. So those were all my coaches. And then when I went to Japan, we had the dojos there, and I had awesome people to work out with there and train, and the sumo wrestlers that they're a whole another breed over there. So it's, I've had lots of training. I've had lots of great training. So
yeah, a lot I didn't know about too. I mean, definitely some good company, but you're like, I know you were with Hulk. That's what I had to ask about Hulk, and obviously Scott too, but you're surprising me with a lot of stuff that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
But so, first off, so moving to Florida, I'm assuming that was a lot of being involved with TNA, and then obviously befriending Hulk and stuff like that. It was probably like a central spot for you, and then it kind of became more lifetime, just probably enjoying
exactly.
the lifestyle.
Like everything that was, my wrestling dream was in Florida at that time, like the school and the shows, and then, obviously Hulk was a big influence of me really wanting to be out there so we can connect and do a lot of stuff together.
That's so cool.
But, it was just honestly, like, Florida's just an amazing place, like the beaches and the gyms there and the lifestyle. It's almost like California living, So I love the Florida life, We were at the beach a lot when we had some downtime, but if we weren't at the gym training, we were at the show or, it's a wrestling school, so we're always doing something in Florida.
That's so cool. It's so cool. Just, I knew all the stuff about you and Hulk Hogan being friends and stuff, but to hear these stories and like, you remember, obviously you remember Hogan knows best. So we know who Nick is and we know who Brooke is. So to hear, his DJ antics and stuff, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I became very good friends with Nick and Brooke, and they're awesome. And Hulk's current wife, Jennifer, she's awesome. I can't say any better about all of them. They've all been accepting to me, and we've all gotten along great. And, Hulk's been almost like a brother to me. He basically was my brother, so that's why, I'm the sister, and he's my brother. It's legit. Like, he's awesome. Like, well, what happened was when we first met, he was going through his divorce at the time, so he was kind of in a hard spot, like he wasn't at his best, like feeling his best, he's going through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So I told him that I would send him like a positive quote every day. So every day, like around 6-7 in the morning, I send him a positive quote. And it's been like that for almost, since 2010, basically, till now. Still
going?
10 years.
Wow.
So it's like he says he can't function unless he's got that positive quote going in the morning,
So you guys still...
I helped him through that, We've been there for each other through some stuff. And he's just been a great friend and mentor. And it's been a amazing journey, and I'm very blessed to have it. But I knew in wrestling, like, I was like, okay, pretty much done everything I possibly can, what's left, so I feel like I just, my passion for it wasn't the same, and I just felt like it was time to just let it go when I was still loving it, so I think I left at the perfect time. And after that, you know, like I said, I got a little lost in life, and then I had to figure out what's next. So that's where I'm at right now. Like, I'm on a new journey, but it's a spiritual, healthy, great journey. So it's, yeah, there's no rush, you know, live in the moment, take your time, you know, but great things will come. You know, I'm not sure exactly what I'll be doing, but we'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah, it's your story, and it will play out the way it is, right? There's nothing, just no reason to speed it up or anything like that. But, you know, you've done, like you said, you've done so much. You went back to Japan to kind of, that's where you kind of wrapped it up, right? Was in Japan.
Yeah, I went to Japan too. I've been over there 6 times. And, I got to go over there 6 times. And sometimes I was there for 3 weeks, sometimes 2 weeks at a time. So I was well taken care of over there. And I had some of the toughest and best opponents there. So my wrestling, you know, there's like your wrestlers, you know, back in my era coming up, it was like TNA, tits and ass, and then they had the wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
So my era was it was a struggle. It was a climb. It was, you know, breaking barriers and doors down. So now today's female wrestling is looked at, you know, it's more respected. It's you know, the girls are actually all wrestling now. It's not bra and panty matches and stuff like that. So it's nice to see where it's went, but I like to think that I had a lot to do with knocking some doors down for the next generation to come up, you know?
100%.
So a lot of us have, you know? But it wasn't an easy path. It was a very hard path, but it was worse at all because it brought me my dreams and, you know, so.
No, like you said, you were...
Nothing in life is easy, you know, just given to you. You got to work hard to get stuff. So I feel like I worked hard on everything I got to achieve, you know?
Yeah, especially in wrestling, it's hard to make it, right? So... You know, I remember, like you said, you were the first woman to graduate from the Can-Am and be on the shows and stuff like that. And you can tell that girls were looking at you at those shows and saying, you know, I can do it too, right? It was kind of showed that, you know, anyone can do it. So I would agree.
As a role model, you want to be a good role model, you know, so you want to show people that, you know, whatever you're, what's in your heart or whatever you want to do in life, you can do it. You just gotta decide to do it, and then once you decide, you put in the work and you get to work and you go, you know. But you want to have the thoughts, and you want to have you have to be in alignment, though. Like, your thoughts and your actions and everything has to match, you know what I mean? Now I'm gonna get too deep, but
yeah, really methodical. I like it, though. It's good. You gotta have that in your life. But like, through it all, you've been able to do a lot of cool things and been able to travel the world too. I know, like I said, you love Florida. You found your spot there and got to travel to Japan. The whole thing, just being able to travel.
I got to go to Holland for 3 months.
Holland?
Holland. So we were in like Amsterdam, Holland. That was a lot of fun too. So I got to train out there for a while. But
interesting.
So, all over the US, all over Canada. It was a very busy lifestyle. You always basically lived in a suitcase in hotels, which I didn't mind. I loved the lifestyle. But then, like, once I stopped, it was like, oh my God, I've got to be an adult now and get a place.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a place and grow up now.
Well, it was all through chasing your dream and chasing your passion too, right? So that's what you were more focused on. So I'm sure it was really cool to be able to do that and to kind of talk about a little bit that that first initial getting the women's division started in TNA. Scott had a huge role in that and pretty much orchestrated it all, and it all kind of started when you first came in, but you didn't get to stick around for it all. So I'm kind of surprised that you weren't there for the resurgence of it all. Was there any reason for that, or is that when you kind of branched off with Hulk and stuff like that?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know if there's any story behind that.
I don't know. No, nothing bad happened or anything like that.
Oh, of course.
Like, I don't know, but it would have been nice to definitely be a big part of that, but it wasn't my path, so it's okay. Everyone did awesome, and I mean, that's where Awesome Kong bloomed out, and that to me is like, that's what women's wrestling is all about. That girl right there, that was very entertaining. She's awesome.
Yeah.
But all of them did well. Like, you know, everyone that was part of that women's division, that's when women's wrestling was actually coming up, you know, like they were getting stronger and better, and, you know, they all just made a pact and made it important and powerful again, and you know, WWE kind of took note and started doing the same with their women, and next thing you know, like, the women's evolution and women's wrestling is a lot different now.
Oh yeah,
than it was
yeah.
when I was coming out. You know, like, it's respected and it's not laughed upon, and you know, like, yeah. So
it's totally different. It's legitimate, pretty much, what it comes down to, right?
Yeah. You know, in my day, like, when I was coming up, my era, I love the female wrestlers in my era. Just, I don't love them now, but in my era, they were just a different breed. You know, you had like female bodybuilders, and you had female wrestlers, and they're a breed. Like, their personality, their lifestyle, like, they're the funnest people to be around. You know.
Yeah.
They're an awesome breed to be around. That's for sure. Those back in that day, so.
Well, you can tell that you fit in pretty well with the whole, you know, performance aspect of professional wrestling, and you know, it's cool to hear the stories of people in Windsor. That's why we do this show. And you know, like I said, you're on your path to finding something new, and still, it's probably cool to talk about this stuff and kind of reminisce a bit, and you know, think about the memories.
It's been a while. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while. I know you asked me a few times to do it, and I said, but I'm not really doing anything right now, so. But it's good to talk about it. I'll bring back all the feelings and memories, and it always feels really good, and it's funny, and it's
fun.
A lot of fun. That's
what awesome it's all about.
Journey, for sure.
That's what it's all about right there. Well, it's cool to document these stories here on Wind City Sports, and you know, the people in Windsor tell their stories and all the cool things that a girl from Windsor has been able to do, like befriend Hulk Hogan, one of her childhood heroes and stuff like that, and fulfill her dreams. So.
I know, because literally I've seen when we're with Hogan in Florida, I've literally seen grown men cry. I'm like, oh my God, Hulk, that guy's crying, like, and he's 60 something. He's like, yeah, I know, I get it all the time, but he loves it. He loves the people so much, so it's kind of funny. He's larger than life still, like, no matter where he goes. I mean, he's just, you know.
Oh, he's Hulk. Hulk.
Every time I was around him, I always had that feeling, you know, when I was a kid. It never went away, so so I'm always on cloud nine hanging out with him.
That's cool. That's like I said, professional wrestling is supposed to be fun, and it's cool to be able to tell your story here on Wind City Sports. So thank you for taking the time to do it. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Drake. I appreciate it, and I enjoyed it. And I just want to say, what is up, Windsor, Ontario? Best city in Canada.
All right. Drake DeMore back here on the podcast. Thank you, Jamie D, for taking the time to do that. Jamie Donacy, a longtime professional wrestler from right out of Windsor, Ontario, right out of the Can-Am Wrestling School. Another person on the list that Scott and the school have trained. Again, cool to reach out to her. And I think it was before the interview got started. I think I had mentioned to her, you know, I can't remember if I found her profile, or, you know, it was a suggested profile to follow, or if I was like, huh, I wonder whatever happened to Jamie D, and searched her up and found her and reached out to her, and that's how the interview all came to be. Of course, with her, like, obviously her wrestling career alone we can talk about, but I knew she had some cool stories about being friends with Hulk Hogan and hanging out with him and his son and daughter and stuff like that. So I figured it'd be cool to come on here and shoot the shit about that, and, you know, maybe see what she's up to now. And of course, obviously, like I said, she's finding her next journey, her next path, finding the path to go to her next journey, better yet. And I'll say whatever. I was going to try to slot it in somewhere into the interview before that. She said, you know, I'm retired from wrestling, but would never rule out like a local home show, especially right now being kind of stuck here. I mean, she wasn't anticipating to stick around Windsor. But. You know, maybe if she's ever in the city and we start running shows like normal, if Border City starts running shows like they normally did, it would be cool to see Jamie D pop up in there. We did see her pop up in Can-Am Wrestling, or Can-Am Rising, sorry, when it, that was a thing when BCW was first revived back in 2012, 2013. She was doing some matches and feuding with Mike Legacy, actually, who she mentioned was the person that actually got her into the school. All those years ago at Lifestyles, aka Central Fitness, now Fit for Less on Central Avenue here in Windsor. So some cool backstories to some stuff like that. as mentioned, another kind of backstory, since there's not a lot of wrestling news, but we did talk about this event with Jamie D, who didn't know who The Rock was in 1998, which I find hilarious now, one of the biggest box office draws in 2020. Pretty funny stuff. Obviously, not being a wrestling fan in 1998, you might not know who The Rock is. But again, not a lot of wrestling news to talk about in regards to Border City Wrestling or even Impact Wrestling aside from one thing, one particular tweet this past weekend. Since this is a wrestling episode, obviously I like to kick things off with any wrestling news we might have. Obviously during this pandemic here, we were not having any Border City shows. And I'm sure we've talked about this on the show in the past, on past wrestling episodes, but we had a very cool interaction on Twitter Saturday night surrounding Impact Wrestling's Bound for Glory event. The event featured the Hall of Fame induction of Ken Shamrock, a longtime UFC and MMA fighter. Obviously, you might know him from that, but you might also know him as a professional wrestler in the WWF's Attitude Era. Shamrock had requested a certain somebody from his past to induct him into the Hall. That person was none other than Dwayne The Rock Johnson. The Rock obliged and sent in a video to Impact Wrestling inducting Shamrock into their Hall of Fame. And my cousin and VP of Impact, Scott DeMore, had sent out a tweet thanking him, which received a caring response, thanking him for the opportunity and also, quote unquote, thanking Scott for being so kind to him on that indie show they did back in 97. That indie show, which was actually in 98, was held at the LaSalle Arena here in Windsor, the Windsor Essex area at least. And still to this day, that's the only event that The Rock performed on that was not promoted by Vince McMahon's WWE. So very cool historic stuff coming out of Windsor yet again. And there's another story that if I can finally get Scott on this podcast, he has to tell about how The Rock almost didn't even wrestle on that event. Impact Wrestling is also offering free trials for their streaming service and was offering it Impact Plus, which holds a lot of BCW content. Actually, all the BCW content that you can find is streamed on there through the Impact Plus app. In other news from a recent article by Jim Parker of the Windsor Star, Megan Augusta is set to begin the latest season of the Battle of the Blades with her partner, a Waterloo native, and Andrew Poge. Actually started last week, but Augusta is known for winning 3 Olympic gold medals and a silver medal with the Canadian women's national hockey team, but she got her start on the ice as a figure skater. Megan recently explained on the Wind City Sports podcast about starting off as a figure skater and convincing her dad to let her play hockey when it came time to register her brother. Megan will go back to her roots a bit with this season kicking off actually last week. And you can watch the newest episode tonight at 8 on CBC and listen to Megan's story on episode 207 of the Wind City Sports on windcitysports.com. The season also features former Spitfire Akeem Alou. Speaking of Spits, the NHL's Central Scouting Bureau released its preliminary players to the watch list for the 2021 draft. Wyatt Johnson, a first-year forward for the Windsor Spitfires, hasn't played a game since back in March, when the junior hockey world shut down, but the 17-year-old still showed enough to be recognized on Tuesday when the report was released, receiving a B rating from NHL scouts. Russian defenseman Daniel Sobolev has yet to set foot in Windsor alone, yet alone on the ice at the WFCU, after being taken in the first round of the CHL's import draft, but he has also received a B rating from NHL scouts. The only other player with local ties to earn a rating was Bell Rivers defenseman Logan Mayhew, who was given a C rating that projects him to go anywhere from the 4th to 6th round. The latest reports and rumors regarding the Ontario Hockey League now include the OHL expecting to announce a February 4th start date for their upcoming season, TSN hockey insider Darren DeDreger reports. GMs were set to meet virtually yesterday to discuss the decision. At this time that you're listening, an announcement may have already been made. Training camps are expected to open on January 25th, and the OHL is expected to unveil an 8-team playoff format. The league halted its 2019-2020 season on March 18th due to the COVID-19 pandemic and anticipated to start this season on December 1st. In our last piece of news for the podcast, Again, from Jim Parker of the Windsor Star, LaSalle's Kylie Moss is anxious to end her dry spell. Moss, the first Canadian woman to win a world swimming title, is set to get back in the pool on Saturday in Budapest, Hungary. She will be competing in the International Swimming League's third of 12 qualifying meets. Bronze medalist in the 2016 Olympics, Moss is still looking to make the 2021 Summer Olympics that were pushed back from this year. But it looks like that's it on the Wind City Sports Podcast this week. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here now going forward every other Monday. Our next episode will be dropping November 9th, Monday, November 9th, as we move the podcast to Mondays, but still have the radio show on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit on Thursdays at 12:30. You can listen to every episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, of course, wherever you're listening to it right now, but on windcitysports.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any podcast app or platform, whatever you use. Give us a subscribe and review on there. Give us 5 stars if you don't mind, the 5-star frog splash. And do the same on social media. Please like, follow, subscribe, and whatever you might use. We have a YouTube channel, Facebook page, Instagram page, and Twitter account at WinCity_sports if you're ever trying to find us. And WinCity is all one word, WinCity. Here on the podcast, you'll hear full, uncut, and unedited versions of interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and much more. On the radio show, you'll hear highlights from those podcast interviews, local sports news, and some good music. Still broadcasting from home during this pandemic, still trying to gather up as much local sports news, branching over to the border, across the border in Detroit as well, and keeping you entertained for a half hour every Thursday at 12:30 on CJAM 99.1 FM. Where you can also listen online or listen to archive episodes on cjam.ca. And you can follow me on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at least, at Drake DeMore. But until next week, smell you later.